Domino Theater presents The Savannah Sippin' Society. Written by Jesse Jones, Nicholas Hope, and Jamie Wooten, The Savannah Sippin' Society is a tale of four women, a perfectionist, a recent widow, a divorcee, and a spitfire, drawn together by fate and an impromptu happy hour in lasting friendship to reclaim lost lust for life. The Savannah Sippin' Society, directed by Joan Jones, September 8th to 24th at Domino Theater. Tickets $20, $10 for students and children. Available via kingstongrand.ca. Hello, and welcome to Domino's Theater Talk. Theater Talk is a new initiative from Domino Theater to provide our subscribers, as well as the broader theater-loving community, with an opportunity to become more familiar with our season's productions, our volunteers, and to keep you up to date with the most recent news from Domino. We are so glad that you have decided to join us for our first episode. For our debut, we have for you an interview with Joan Jones, who directed our first play of the season, The Savannah Sippin' Society, by Jesse Jones, Nicholas Hope, and Jamie Wooten, presented by permission of the Dramatists Play Services. This is our third attempt at trying to bring this delightfully funny play to you, and hopefully the third time's a southern charm. Joan clearly had a great time in the director's chair, so please sit back and enjoy our interview with her. Well, hello. I'm here with Joan Jones, the director of the Savannah Sippin' Society, being presented at Domino Theater from September 8th to the 24th. Hello, how are you?
Hello, how are you?
Oh, I'm doing very well. Thank you so much for joining us.
It's my pleasure.
I was wondering, to start off, what was it? I mean, first of all, this play has had a bit of a journey with Domino.
Yes.
Because we've been trying to stage it before. So I was wondering how you came into the project and what it was about it that attracted you.
Well, it's simply, I think, an issue of timing and interest. So I've been involved in Domino Theater since 1990 when I moved to Kingston, and I've directed and I've acted and I've stage managed and those sort of things. And for the last number of years when I was working, and I'm now retired, the only shows that I was interested in potentially directing happened to fall in times in my work calendar when I actually couldn't, you know, put in an application. So retirement afforded me this new opportunity to just say yes to things that interested me. So of course I'm interested in a play that is about women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I'm interested in comedy, and I'm interested that, you know, the women could be, you know, there was a lot of possibilities in terms of, you know, age and shape. And there's not a lot of plays, again, you know, even if there are women in them, they may be younger women. And this is women, you know, over the age of 40.
Mm.
So that's cool, you know, and some of the themes of the play, you know, certainly resonate with me and the people that I know, you know, loss of partners, loss mm-hmm. of jobs, you know, just, you know, infidelity, that kind of thing is, mm-hmm. You know, I think is one of the things that, you know, those themes resonate with people, women who are my age, women who are over the age of 50. And so I think that that's what interested me. And the possibility of who would come out to audition, I thought it would be fairly competitive because mm-hmm. because there are so many great women in that age demographic in Kingston who love to act, people that I've seen on stage before. And I knew that it would be quite competitive, and it was. And it was lovely to have that many people come out and have so much choice when it came to casting the show.
Oh, that's wonderful. Yeah, I can imagine having an embarrassment of riches to choose from is a gift when you're a director.
Yes, it was.
So there are four women cast?
There are four women in the show, yes.
Right. And I'm guessing that there are some archetypes involved?
I think, yes. You know, type A personality, absolutely. Sort of freewheeling, the oldest character in the show who has lost her husband. She just has so much energy and vitality in her. Again, like lots of women that I have known who, mm-hmm. You know, they they have a lot in them. She's actually sort of the sexiest character in the play, the one who thinks the most about sex, which is very, very interesting. And the other one, the sort of the dynamo. So certainly there are some sort of archetypes in terms of characters, but I don't think that they're caricatures. And I think that that's a good thing. The challenge with doing a comedy that has those kind of characters written into it is the funny is going to take care of itself. This is what I keep on telling the cast. You do not have to make it funny. The writers made it funny. You have to make it real. So those are the kind of things. So where in your own life or the lives of people that you know, can you find those moments where you would laugh something off, where you would tell a joke that's maybe a bit off color, where you would, you know, bash somebody's ex-husband, that kind of thing. So that's real. But those, you know, the jokes are written into the script. But, you know, you cannot play this like it's stand-up comedy, for sure.
So it's a bit more interior than hamming it up.
Well, I hope so. I mean, it could be done hamming it up, but I didn't choose to do it that way.
Oh, I like that. I like that. I think that'll it'll create a bit more intimate atmosphere and draw an audience in more to be more interested.
I hope so. And I hope that that's the part that that is accessible to men who come to see the show. I don't want it to be, you know, it's a chick flick of a play. That's what I have called it ever since I, you know, first read it. But it needs to be accessible to men. And I think that that kind of the life moments that would be hopefully relatable to them through the women that they know in their life, or even, you know, the loss of their own partner or an infidelity or any of those kind of things that are represented in the play. I hope it's relatable.
Yeah. Well, all those things are equal opportunity, right?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. So you have four actresses.
Yes.
How are they? I mean, are they just sinking their teeth into these roles or?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I was so excited that after 7 months and we didn't know whether we would get back on stage, didn't know whether this would be one of the shows that Domino chose to remount. Mm-hmm. You know, we were already 6 weeks into rehearsal when we got shut down in just before Christmas in 2021. And that was really hard on everybody. And I didn't know that when I put out the call in the spring to say, is everybody up for it? That all four of them would say yes again.
They returned.
They would want to come back. And that was, again, really exciting for me, because when you build a cast, everything is inter, you know, mixed. Like when you choose one person, you know, it's not like you can necessarily replace person B, you know, because they relate to person A.
Yeah.
So I was really excited that all of them were able to come back. And we've tried to have a different kind of rehearsal schedule because it's summer, you know, and people want to do stuff. So we've rehearsed kind of fast and furious in the middle of the week so people can have their weekends free. Mm-hmm. And that was good. And that was the compromise that we made as a group, is that we did not want this to eat up our entire summer. We didn't want this to be our life for the entirety of the summer.
Right.
So we made a rehearsal schedule that people could live with. And that meant that everybody was willing and able to come back. So that was really exciting after 7 months. And they, all the work that they had done in those 6 weeks where we had been rehearsing, they had really kept up. Like their line work was good right off the bat. Another reason why we didn't have to, you know, rehearse every single day for hours and hours on end is that those actors had done the work. And that was really, really helpful to the process moving forward. Yeah.
Oh, wonderful. Wonderful. So what have been your biggest challenges when directing a play such as this?
Oh, I think it's, I mean, the business is always, you know, the trickiest part, because the playwrights write in stuff that may or may not make sense, but it you know, it's in the script and it needs to be there for a reason, some of which I don't know and have not been able to figure out, but there's reference to it. So you have to kind of go with it. So sometimes the sort of comedic business is hard. Especially because, you know, there's chase scenes and it's on somebody's porch. There's not a lot of room to run, you know, in amongst the plants and the furniture and, you know, the size of the stage and the railings and the, you know, the staircases and stuff. You know, there's not a lot of space to chase somebody on that stage. So crafting those moments has been a bit challenging. Getting the right feel for this for the set and the furniture, you know, was a bit of a challenge, but I think it's come out really, really well.
Oh, wonderful. Now, it's the Savannah Sipping Society, so I'm guessing that there will be some sipping.
There's a lot of sipping. I think every scene has a different drink in it. And some of them are good drinks and some of them are bad drinks, but they're all called by like their name. So, you know, when they're sipping bourbon, we have to have something that looks like bourbon, but we can't have real alcohol and we can't have anything with caffeine in it. Mm. So, you know, we're brewing teas. You know, there's mead, you can buy it. I know you can. But, you know, again, we're not going to have it on the set. It's an alcoholic beverage, you know. But, you know, how to make something that the audience goes, oh, that looks like it might be fermented honey. That's great, you know, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. And there's wine and there's iced tea and there's cocoa, there's Kahlua, there's champagne. Like, there's a lot of sipping. There's a lot of sipping going on.
Do any of the characters indulge a little too much at some point?
Oh, yes, but I won't tell you which one.
Oh, no, keep the mystery. How has it been, not just with the actors, but the overall experience? Because, you know, you're coordinating with people that are doing sound and lights and set and, you know, seeing it all come together because we're at the stage where it's starting to come all together.
Yeah, that's been really exciting. There's some people at Domino Theater who really know what they're doing. I have an excellent lighting designer who is, you know, super creative, a sound designer who, you know, really had some great ideas for this kind of, you know, girl positive music that I wanted. Mm-hmm. So, you know, the text says, you know, I want soft jazz or something like that. And I'm like, I don't want soft jazz. They might have wanted soft jazz, but that's not what I see as something that's going to propel us into the next scene. Mm-hmm. That's going to help the audience know something. So I say, can you get something like this? And she came back with some brilliant, brilliant things. The set dresser has been amazing. It's his first time out at Domino, and you know, his creativity is unbelievable. He's already been tapped for another show because he's that good.
Oh, wow.
So that's totally fun. You know, lots of the people working backstage have never been with Domino, and that's fun. There's a cameo that is played by somebody who, you know, has never acted before. Oh. And I won't tell you, so that's the fifth person in the show. And that cameo is quite spectacular, short and spectacular. And that's fun. So, you know, that person has never had an opportunity to be on stage before, but to be part of a production. And so to put up their hand and say, I want to do this thing is fantastic.
Oh, that's wonderful. Are they enjoying it?
What's that?
Are they enjoying it?
Oh, yeah. And that's what I keep on asking all the new people is like, are you still having fun? And, you know, that's what I don't want to infringe on anybody's life. And we've had people who've had like, you know, life experience changes where they're like, I've made a promise to you and I can't do that. Well, let me find somebody else who can promise for the stuff that you can't. And that's been, I've relied on the people at Domino to help me fill in those things. And it's been good. I don't want to be rigid about it. I want to make sure people feel welcome. And I think everybody does, but it's pretty exciting. So I like to let people do their own thing. I like to, you know, guide and give them information about what I want, but you know, this is their show too. So, you know, to be creative. I don't want to say, yeah, this is the lighting designer, and by the way, here are the 15 songs I want in the show. No, I mean, that doesn't, then I'm the lighter. I mean, I'm the sound designer, not lighting designer. Yeah.
Right, right. What has the vibe been on set?
Oh, everybody's been super, super supportive, you know, and we've been very careful. Like we have been, this will be the first week coming up that we haven't been rehearsing in masks.
Okay.
Everybody wants to make sure that this show makes it to opening night, and everyone has been really, really careful and cautious. And that's been hard because it's summer and it's hot. And, you know, so, but everyone has been so careful with each other and so respectful of everybody's sort of needs in terms of that. So, I mean, now we have to start drinking the things. We've been miming through masks. And, you know, tonight we have to start drinking the drinks. So we know what we're doing with glasses that are half full and that sort of stuff. So that'll be the challenge for the next, this week, is to integrate some of those things. So the drinking, the sound, and then we'll do a costume run, because there's a lot of costume changes too. and which is totally fun. And again, the costume designer was new, so that was
Oh,
it was
nice.
lovely to see that process unfold for them.
Before we go, I was just wondering, what are your hopes for the show once it goes on stage?
I want people to laugh. I want people to be able to see themselves or somebody else in it, but mostly I just want them to just have a good belly laugh. I think that it's set up to be that way, and I think I have been successful in directing it to make that outcome possible. But I just want people to have fun. Like, it's been a lot of time. You know, we have not been able to gather on porches of our friends and drink a lot for a long time. And I want people to see that. People having fun and just relaxing and getting to know each other. So that's kind of what I want fun.
So yeah, if you had to close it off by doing a little pitch, what would you say?
I think, I don't know what I say. It's worth waiting for, you know. It's been 3 years in the planning, and I think that this show is worth the wait, and I hope people are excited to see it.
I hope so too. Thank you so very much for joining us.
Okay.
And break a leg.
Yes, indeed, indeed, indeed.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Listeners, isn't she just delightful? I'm sure that if you've seen the play already, that you've enjoyed finding out more about it. And if you haven't seen it yet, that this may inspire you to wish to go. Before we end our episode, we have a couple of announcements for you. If you happened to see the show and enjoy it, and you've thought, wow, that looks like fun, maybe I could do that. Well, here's your chance to try. We have an audition notice for Miracle on 34th Street, our Christmas production, directed by Valerie Winslow. The performance dates will be the November 30th through December 17th. Actors required for characters are 6 to 10 adult males of various ages, 3 to 7 adult females of various ages, 3 teenagers, male or female, 5 children, male or female, ages 5 to 10. Auditions will be held in person at Domino Theater, 52 Church Street, and will include cold readings from the script. The auditions will be held Sunday, September 11th from 1 to 3 p.m. for children. Children may be accompanied by a parent, and from 2 to 4 p.m. for adults. Another audition day will be Tuesday, September 13th from 6:30 p.m. to 9 p.m., and you need not be present for the entire audition schedule. Please email domino.miracle@gmail.com if you have any questions. And if you want to find out about other auditions or volunteer opportunities with Domino, please go to our website, dominotheater.com, and look under the Get Involved tab. And in other Domino news, we are happy to announce that casting of our next production, Agatha Christie's Murder on the Orient Express, is now complete. We thank everyone who came out for the auditions. Murder on the Orient Express is presented by permission of Concord Theatricals and will be on our stage from October 20th to November 5th. You can get tickets at the Grand Theatre box office, and for more information, www.dominotheatre.com. That's the end of our first edition of Domino's Theatre Talk. We hope that you enjoyed our interview with Joan Jones, and we hope that you will listen again. Thank you very much. Theater Talk is a Domino Theater production, and music is made available to us by bensound.com.